Okay. Thanks for coming.
So we're going to do sort of clear thinking. We decided to call it that instead of logic. Logic just sounds kind of scary, and nobody wants to do it. And so when I said I was going to beat logic, nobody came. So we decided to call it clear thinking. It worked. All these people came. So, but there is actually a point to it. I talked to start calling it that. Because that's really what it is that I want to give you. That's what I want you to get from this class. Is that too loud? Something like that. It's okay. Okay. I want to give you what I think is the ability to be able to process information and think really about it. So, like, I was doing something with Ryan the other day. This is one of my favorite things to do. It's a little game they play in the monastery where you're waiting one of the face drive you off. And you play this game called Mushi Musu. So how many people have heard of Mushi Musu? Hey, some people, right? Okay. So we're gonna play a little game, Mushi Musu. So, what's Nopo? Anybody know Nopo? Yeah, where do you think, right? What's human Mu? No? Does anyone know Mu or Mu Khan? What does that mean?
Mu? Faces?
No. Here. Yeah. Let's see. Everybody, you're going to have to sit somewhere where you can see this thing. I'm going to write on it. If you can't see it, then maybe I'll shift and if you won't be here, that's good. Okay. So, Mool. Everybody say Mool.
Mool.
Yeah. So, Mool, instead means the most important thing in the world. Money. Does anybody know what a kampa is?
Kampa?
No? Kampa. Yeah, kampa means house. So, should I move it down a little bit? Is that okay? So, Nukami is a bank. Does that work for bank? The money house, so a place to keep money. So anyway, working and nul money, are they gewa, dunchik, mushi, or musu? Alright, so gewa means opposite. To be one is to not be the other. So what we're going to do in this process of learning to think clearly is we're going to discover what's the relationship between working and money, right? When you get up in the morning to go to work, right, what are you thinking? I'm going to work to...
Make
money, right? So is that logical to think that way? That's what we're going to explore. Some people already know. Okay. So, gewa dunchik mushi musum means there's, between any two things, there's one of four possible relationships. They can be gewa. Gewa means to be one is to not be the other. What's an example? Red and blue. Something is red is not blue, something is blue is not red. That's why I like to teach people what the word gewa. Because gewa doesn't exactly mean opposite, right? Because we don't think of red and blue as opposites. Right? This is why Hopkins translates it as mutually exclusive. So mutually exclusive is actually closer to the correct meaning of gewa. I guess you might as well like words like mutually exclusive. How often have you heard the word mutually exclusive? You don't even know what that means. Now I gotta explain it in English. So we'll say opposite, but you should know that when we say opposite, what we really mean is, how do I define it? How to define it is to be one is to not be the other. Okay. So then the next one is dunchik. Dunchik means to be one is to be the other. So like if I wrote 1 and 2 here, to be one is to not be the other. To be one is to be the other. What's an example?
Chevy car.
Close.
Color.
Purple.
Apple fruit.
Blue sky.
Eric Brinkman and Better World English.
Red.
Yeah. Yeah. I was looking for a car and automobile. That's the current name, right? To be a car, to be an automobile, to be an automobile, to be a car. So, some of your, what's that?
Can you just write the Tibetan words so we know?
Sure. That's a gala. This is a chick. Okay. Sorry. So car and automobile, to be the one, to be the other. So there are, this is also known, right, as a relationship of dependence. So there's a one-way relationship and a two-way relationship of dependence, right? So for good shit, it has to be a two-way relationship of dependence. So automobile has to be a car has to be an automobile. Okay. Versus a one-way relationship of dependence, which Chevy and car, or Apple, fruit, those are all examples of those. We'll talk about that later. So the next one, Mushi and Mosu. So, So, Mu means something like possibilities. So, Mushi means a case where the four possibilities hold, which is why I like to just call it Mushi. Musun, same thing, a case where the three possibilities hold. Musun is easier. So, let's do Mushi Musun. One will be red, and two will be bald. This is the easiest example. Alright, so, these are the four possibilities. Give me an example of something which is red and, I'm sorry, give me something which is neither red nor bald.
Orange house.
Ningbo.
Ningbo's good. Cat's, your cat's good as long as it's not red. Then give me an example of something which is red but not a ball.
Apple.
Okay, good. Then give me an example of something which is both red and ball.
Red ball.
And give me an example of something which is a ball but not red.
Tennis ball.
Volleyball, whatever. So this then we would say is Mushi. Why? Because all four possibilities exist. Okay. So who cares? Whatever. Right. That's exactly what Ryan said. He was like, why don't we get crap about that? Okay. Let's talk about something more important. Like money. And working. Alright, right? So I said at the beginning, right? So we're going to learn how to think clearly, right? When you get up in the morning, in your mind, you're thinking, I'm going to go to work because I'm going to make money. So is that thinking clearly? Let's explore. Can you think of someone who has a lot of money but doesn't work?
Yes.
Can you think of somebody who doesn't have any money and doesn't work?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you think of someone who has money and does work?
Yes.
And can you think of somebody who works but doesn't have money?
Yes.
Yeah. So then we would say that's Mushi. What Mushi means basically is that there's no cause and effect relationship there. Just like red and ball. Does red cause balls? Does balls somehow cause redness? Don't answer that. Anyway. See, there's no relation, there's no necessary relationship between red and ball. So in the same way, if the same thing is true about money and work, what we've shown then is there's no necessary relationship between working and money. It's not true. So if you get up in the morning to go to work and you want to make money, you've got a problem. Why? Because there's no necessary relationship. It's a crapshoot. You're throwing a dart at a dartboard, hoping it hits. Right? And how do you know that? Because you know people that work and don't have money. Okay. Well, there's the problem. Let's talk about the solution. All Tibetan logic basically comes down to understanding syllogisms. And all syllogisms come down to understanding reasons. You can make a syllogism and understand how syllogisms work, You can think clearly. That's my thesis. All right. So what's a syllogism? Syllogism has three or four parts. I think today I'm only going to talk about three of them. The fourth part is an example. Just in case you ever hear that, it's not so important. We're not going to do it. All right. The first part is necessary is subject. What's the second part?
Assertion.
Yeah, assertion. What's the third part?
Reason.
So this is a little bit boring example, but this is the one I would use. It's pretty simple. And actually starts to get into some interesting stuff. That's a terrible challenge. I'm going to accept that as a challenge.
Is it Dracha?
Yeah.
Mitate, I guess.
Yeah.
Cedece.
Yeah, yeah. All right, everybody repeat after me, just for fun. Dra.
Dra.
Chu.
Chu.
Chen.
Chen.
Mi.
Mi.
Da.
Da.
De.
De.
Che.
Che.
Be.
Be.
Chu.
Chu.
Okay. So then when you do it in the monastery, there's a cadence to it, so you have to do it that way. So you go, Dra Chu Chen.
Dra Chu Chen.
Mitate.
Mitate.
Jibbe chu. Okay, yeah, one more time, just for fun. Dra chu chu.
Dra chu chu.
Mi take.
Mi take.
Jibbe chu.
Jibbe chu.
Y'all understand a lot of it. Okay. So what this says is, consider sound. As an S. It's changing. It's a changing thing. Because it's made. It's a thing that is made. Alright. So this is a syllogism. Why? Because it has three parts. So what's the subject?
Sound.
Yeah. Subject is sound. What's the assertion?
Changing.
Yeah, sound is changing. This part right here. And then what's your reason?
It's made.
Because it's made. Okay. So we have a syllogism. That's all it is. That's all there is to it. That's all you really have to know. Then how these parts start to relate to each other. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Could you say it instead of because it's made, because it's caused? Or would that not be okay?
You could. Let's get to that a little later. Yeah, if I don't cover that again, remind me. Okay, so here's a syllogism. And then, like I said, now that you understand how to make a syllogism, the next thing is the heart of all syllogisms is reasons. So after this, all you're going to do is you're going to study reasons and learn how the reasons relate to other things. And once you understand that, then you understand everything there is to know about life. What's that? Okay. So what's the definition of a reason, as you may know? Yeah. Say da.
Da.
Su.
Su.
Gopa.
Gopa.
Daxakopa.
Daxakopa.
Yeah. Anything given as a reason. So if I say, consider sound is changing because I like monkeys. What's the reason?
Because
I like monkeys. Why? Because I put it in place for reasons to go. So, as long as you put it in the right place, that's your reason. So, consider sound changing because the sky is blue. Right? What's the reason? Because the sky is blue. Alright. So then say, dock.
Dock.
Young.
Young.
Dock.
Dock.
Dock and dock.
Dock and dock.
Dock and dock means correct reason. What's the definition of a correct reason? See if I know.
Anything which passes the three tests.
Yeah. Anything which the three relationships hold. Zu sum yinba. Say zu.
Zu
sum.
Sum.
Yinba.
Yinba.
Zu sum yinba.
Zu sum yinba.
Zu sum yinba means any syllogism where the three relationships hold. Okay, so what are the three relationships? First, it has to be connection between one and three. That's a relationship between one and three. Right. So I'm going to use my numeric code so I don't have to write so much. Right. So what's one? One is the subject. What's three? The reason. Okay. So it must be a relationship between one and three. So if I said consider sound, it's made. Is there a relationship?
Yeah.
Right. We would say yes, because sound is a made thing. If you want to hear sound, happy monkey, you have to do something. Right. You have to make the sound. Right. So sounds are made things. But if I said consider sound changing because I like monkeys, Is there a relationship between sound and the fact that I'm a monkey?
No.
Not really. So then that one, this one's going to hold. Okay. What's the next one? Do you know?
Is there a relationship between
three
and two?
Yeah. If three and two. Must two. So this is a J-Cow means positive necessity. So this word is very important. Must. It must be the case. So if three is true, two must then also be true. Must be true. All right. So if something is made, must it be changing?
Yes.
Yeah, we would say yes. Why? Because like what Ryan said, anything which is made, what's dunchik with made?
Caused.
Dunchik, right, means synonym. To be one is to automatically be the other. So there's a list of things which to be one is to automatically be the other. Anything which is made must be a thing which is caused, right? Because I said if I make it, right, then it has cause. The cause is like clapping my hands together, right? It's made because I'm clapping my hands together. What else is dunchik with this? Yeah, results good. Produces good.
Changing.
Yeah, working or functioning is also true. These are all synonyms. To be one is to be the other. So it must be the case that if something is made, it's changing. Why? Because that's the relationship these things have. Anything which is made is something which is changing. Anything which is changing is something which is a result. Anything which is a result is something which is a cause. Those are all necessary relationships. So then this is gonna hold. It's necessarily the case. Okay. Then, just to cover all of our bases, what's the third one? Yeah. Correct. Good. If not two, not three. Okay. So, if something is not changing, which we can just simplify that and say what? Unchanging. If something is unchanging, must that thing also be a thing which is not made?
Yeah.
Right? Because unchanging things don't have causes, they're not made, that's what makes them unchanging. Right? What's an example of an unchanging thing?
Emptiness.
Yeah, emptiness is the most important one. Space is another good example. We also say fast, I don't know you.
Silence.
What's that?
Silence.
Yeah. Anything which is a lack will be an unchanging thing, which means it doesn't have causes, right? You don't cause sound or silence, right? Silence is a lack of somebody causing sound. Okay. All right, who cares? We'll do a couple more examples just so that I know that you've got this part, and then we'll do something more important like how we make money. Okay, so consider sound changing because it's made. Run the test. Is this a true syllogism?
Yes.
Okay, so we run the test, right? Relationship between one and three, sound is made, we agreed. If something is made, it must be changing, we agreed. If something is not changing, then it can't be made. Yes, pass three tests, good syllogism. Okay. So what if I said, consider sound is changing because, let's do the sky is blue. Because the sky is blue. All right. So what do we do? Is it correct? I don't know. Let's run the test. Right. So what's the first test? Is the relationship between one and three? Is the relationship between the fact that is a relationship between sound and the fact that the sky is blue?
No,
not really. So then we fail the first test. Okay, that's what it was. No good. Let's throw it out. Well, what about consider sound is changing because it exists? Is that true? I don't know. Let's run the test. Is a relationship between one and three? Does sound exist?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. That's fine. So it passes that one. If three, then two must be true. So what does that mean? You tell me.
All existing things must not really have to be changed.
Yeah, if it exists, it must be changing. Is that true?
No,
why not?
Because there are some changing things.
Unchanging things exist. We just gave a list of them, right? Okay. So again, that syllogism is false. Right. What about consider sound as changing because it's something that's heard? What about that one? I don't know. Let's check. Run your tests. Relationship between one and three is a relationship between sound and sound being heard.
Yes.
Or sounds heard. Yes, yeah, that's okay. If something is heard, must it be changing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Frank. If something is not heard, I did it wrong. If something is not changing, if something is unchanging, is that a thing which is not heard?
Yeah.
Yes. I would say yes.
Yeah.
So you write that one down. Okay, anyway. Alright, so now you know everything there is to know about syllogisms, everything there is to know about logic. Who cares? Let's talk about money. So let's take our get up in the morning syllogism. Why do I get up in the morning? So I go to work. Why do I go to work? So I want money. Alright, let's write it out. Consider money. I'm going to get it. Because I work hard. Right? That's what we all think. You know what your mom told you when you were growing up, right? Your dad told you. I was going to look it up and I forgot. Yeah, well, that might be all good. That's fine. Alright, true or false? I don't know, run the tests. Come on, people. What's the first test? Eventually between money and working hard. I think you, obviously you can argue with that, but you could say, okay, I do know a guy that works hard and has money. So theoretically, this is not a necessary relationship. So, you know, if I said consider money, you're going to get it, work hard, and say, yeah, I know a guy who works really hard and he has money. Okay, so let's say it passes the first one just for fun. What's the second test? Yeah, it's three must two, right? Not long. I think we're going to be in trouble. So, if you work hard, must you get money?
No.
No, right? I don't think so. And I have lots of examples in my personal life. My favorite one is when I quit my job at Cornell and go work at Diamond Mountain. It happened. We were working in the summer under the sun in Arizona, lifting Adobe blocks. I didn't die. They never sent me nothing. Right. So then this is false. The syllogism is false. So again, you know, if somebody asked me, you know, why would I bother to study logic? Logic can be difficult sometimes. It's not the easiest thing to learn. It is a little bit like math sometimes. So why would I bother to put in all the effort to learn how to use logic, right? Because it will save you from wasting your life. It'll save you from wasting your life, right? You spend your whole life working hard, thinking you're going to make money, and that's not a necessary relationship. You could work hard your whole lifetime and never make any money. Waste your whole life. Right? So that's why that's from my side, for my money. That's why you should learn how to think clearly. Right? So if I wanted to make this work, what do I have to do? Since there's a bunch of Buddhists out here. Tell me what goes in here.
Because I have a job that pays money.
Because I get money. So let's check it. Is there a relationship between money and getting money?
Yes.
Seems like it. If I give money, must I get money?
Not necessarily.
Well, I would say laying up, you know, the first law of karma is karma's definite. If you plant a seed for money, you must get money. Now, if you want to give me a hard time, right, there's things you can say. I would say this syllogism is true for the most part. But there are other things you have to know, right? This is what we do for DCI. We go all over the planet and we teach people how to make money. And what do we tell them? What do they have to do if they want to make money? Besides give money.
Technique.
Yeah, they need technique. And they need to
not destroy their seeds.
Teach is good. Yeah. Starts with four, ends with powers. Yeah. I have to give money, but I also have to, you know, there's various things like, I shouldn't get angry. If you get angry, what happens? You burn up all your good seeds. So if I give somebody some money, but then I get angry at them right afterwards, then it's not going to work out. Or if I have a lot of history of stealing, you know, when I give somebody money, what's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen. Or what if I like to borrow money, you know, and not pay it back. Sometimes I like to borrow money and I don't always manage to pay it back. Then what's going to happen? Nothing. Because the seeds you're planting by stealing, let's call a spade a spade, are going to undercut the seeds if you plant by any money. Okay. Alright, so if I said, consider money, I'm going to get it because I give money, and I take care of that seed. Then I'll just say, good or bad.
Theoretically, it's good.
Theoretically. What part is theoretical?
We accept the four love karma.
You have to believe in karma.
Yeah. You have to believe in karma. Boom! 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 So I have to believe in gravity.
Oh. Whoa.
I have to believe in gravity. If I don't believe in gravity, I'm going to start floating.
Depends on how light you are.
Yeah, if you're mad.
I'm getting off the subject. Does anybody know who Charles Whitman is?
Who?
You might know who Charles Whitman is?
Charles Whitman.
Nobody? Nobody knows who Charles Whitman is. Okay. I thought for sure somebody would know.
Is that the Herbalife?
That's Walt Whitman. Charles Whitman. His father, Charles Whitman, grew up with his father teaching him that you're going to get money if you work hard. And he didn't make money. He was a miserable failure in life. And he went up in a bell tower with a rifle, and he started picking people off at the University of Texas. So, maybe a reason why we need to learn how. just to make it dramatic. Right. You want to do any other ones while we're on the subject? Actually, I was supposed to teach a book called Iggy Moonsell, but it's not so important for me to teach that book. It's more important for me to believe that you understand this information I just gave you.
I have a question.
Okay. Questions are good.
Are you saying that syllogisms, that this system of logic should be able to work on anybody, no matter what their belief system?
What do you mean by work on?
Like, it should be able to... Because, you know, consider money, I'm going to get it because I give it away. Like, a lot of people won't believe that.
Well,
why should they believe that?
Because it's logic. If you teach them how to think logically, and you show them how logic works, you explain all the rules of logic, and you give them a syllogism which is logical, they should accept it.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying they will. That's the emptiness of logic.
Sure.
I can teach everybody here logic, and I can give you all the proofs how to think logically, and you don't have to accept them. Why? Because if you don't have the karma for it, it's not going to work for you. And that's the emptiness of logic.
No, I understand that. But when we tested it against number two, which was if three, then must two.
Yeah.
If I give money, then I must get money.
Yeah.
Why will everybody necessarily believe that unless they're like, you know, an outlying factor?
I see. Well, you want to do that one?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is a little bit farther than I wanted to go today, but that's okay. You're all Buddhist. You should know this stuff. All right. Consider money. I'm going to get it. I get money. And then the rest of it, you just remembered that I wrote that before. Alright, so if you want to debate with people, what's the most important thing? Yeah. That's what I was looking for, yeah. But that other one's also true. What's your motivation? Why are you debating with them? Are you trying to debate with them because you want to be right? If you are, I'm telling you right now, you're going to have problems. And you will fail, eventually. All the logic that you use will never accomplish anything. Because what determines the success of your attempt to use logic with other people is going to be what? Yeah, do you care about them or not? If you care about them, then they're going to listen to what you want to say. If you don't care about them and you're just trying to be right, they'll feel that, and also karmically this works. And they're not going to listen to anything you say. And they won't accept anything you say, and they're just going to waste your time. Then the other thing, this is maybe why Mira brought this up, is when you do it with people, you're supposed to start from common ground. You're supposed to figure out, you know, what do they accept already, and then work from there and work your way up. you know, if somebody doesn't accept karma at all, then I'm not allowed to use karma as a reason. First, I have to establish that karma is true. But we'll do this just so I can show you, if you want to debate with other people, then what you have to be able to know next. For your own purposes, this is enough, basically. But for other people's purposes, you have to know how to follow a chain. You have to be able to go from one syllogism to the next syllogism to the next syllogism to sort of show a chain how things connect. So how you do that depends on what they say. So, you know, if they... So you give them the syllogism, consider money, you're going to make some because you give it away. And they say, in their mind, they run the three tests. Right? They run the test themselves, and they say, you know what? I don't think there's a relationship between giving money and money. No. Then what do they answer?
No, that's not true.
Yeah, what's the Tibetan?
Dogma.
Dogma. Thank you. Everybody say Dak?
Dak.
Ma?
Ma.
Group. What does that mean?
Reason.
Literally, it means Dak is one of the words, one of the many words in Tibetan for reason. You know, I was thinking about it. I guess you might go, when he talks about meditation, you know, he says, like, for example, every culture, whatever they emphasize in their culture, they have a lot of words for that particular thing. Like, does anybody know Eskimo has like 23 or something words for snow or something? I don't know the exact number. But I guess Michael studied Russian, so he's like, the Russians have like 12 words for gloom and darkness. Because it's just such a big part of their psyche, you know? So, in the same way, like Tibetans in, you know, in Sanskrit, there's like 5-6 words for meditation. Same thing in Tibetan, they have 5-6 words for meditation. They also have, at least 4 different words for reason. Again, sort of indicating the need to emphasize learning about clear thinking. But anyway, literally, Thak is a... I'm sorry, Thak means reason, Ma's not, group is established. So, literally means reason not established, but what does that mean? Close. What's your first test? Yeah, so when you say Thak and group, what it means is, or if you say reason not established, what you're saying is there's no relationship between 1 and 3. Keep that in your head, because a lot of people will screw themselves up when they start trying to debate with other people. If they don't like the reason, you know, because I like monkeys, they'll say, Thak Mantra. And a lot of times, like if I said, you know, with our original example, consider sounds changing because it exists, you know. If you don't like it exists as a reason, you don't say Thak Mantra, right? Because that would be telling them you think there's no relationship between 1 and 3, which would be false. You'd be wrong, right? So if you didn't like the relationship between 3 and 2, which is your second test, then what do you say?
Yeah,
good. Challenge. Oops. I've So say, Kao?
Kao.
Ba?
Ba.
Ma?
Ma.
Chong?
Chong.
Kao ma chong?
Kao ma
chong. Good. So what does that mean? Literally, what does anyone know what Kao means?
Pervade.
Yeah, originally it meant lid. And then it came to mean pervasion. Right? The way a lid covers a pot. So then... If something is kyaap, it covers all circumstances or all cases, right? Which then means pervasion, right? So ma means what?
Not.
And chung means basically occurs or is that way. So you can also say my kyaap if you want to say like the short version. So basically what you're saying is not necessarily if you wanted to. That's pretty good English for that. Not. They spell necessarily.
C-E-S-S.
Something like that.
Fuck yeah.
You look it up. Alright. So literally it means not so fast, my friend, if anybody watches football on Saturday mornings. But then what does it mean in the context of a syllogism?
It's not necessarily the case that that if it's three it must be two.
Yeah. The relationship if three must two, that relationship doesn't hold. So okay, everybody got that?
So what's another way of saying the reason doesn't really need the assertion.
You could say it's not necessarily the case that the reason makes the assertion true, or you could say you could use must somehow. The fact that if three is true, two must be true, that it's not necessarily.
Okay.
Yeah, not necessarily. I think you must do something. I can't do it right now. Okay, so if you go to your friend and you're going to force them logically to accept all your beliefs, and you say, consider money, you're going to get it because you give money, and they say, Tonnager. Then what does that mean?
They don't give any money.
It could. Alfred's totally right. It could mean that they don't give any money. So then what would you do? So if you're the attacker, and you think they do give money, then what you would say is what happens is, here, I'll use my number system again, is one stays the same, money, then three moves into the two slot. So you would say, consider money, or you do give it, and then you give a new reason. See? So three slides up here, and you give a new reason. So consider money, you do give it, because I saw you. Last week, give money to some homeless guy. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. About that? Okay. And then if he is talking to her again, then what do you do? You do the same thing. You say, consider money. I did see you give it to somebody else because, I took a picture and here it is. And you just keep going until they finally throw in the towel. So, or you figure out you were wrong, one or the other. Maybe he never does give money. Alright, so then the other possibility, right, the other way the syllogism could be false is if it fails test number two or three, right? So, you tell them, consider money, you're going to get it, because you give money, and they say, Kama Jung, right? Just because I give money doesn't mean I'm going to get money, right? So then, in that case, what you do is first, you don't have to worry about subjects anymore. What you do is you state your assertion, you state the necessity. So what's the necessity? Yeah. If you give money, and protect the seed, you must get money. So see, now that's your assertion, that's what you're trying to prove. Because if you can prove the necessity, see, then again, your original syllogism must be true. So then what you do here, you try and give a reason which proves this pervasion. So now if they were Buddhist, what I would say, like I said to you guys, is because of the first law of karma. Because the first law of karma says karma is definite. If you give money, you must get money. So, see, if you give money, you must get money. That's pervasion. So then the pervasion holds, so then the syllogism is true. Now it's more difficult if they're not Buddhist. See, you're gonna have to come up, for number three, you're gonna have to come up with something that doesn't use, scripture. Which can be done, but, I don't think we should do that today. But I just want you to understand the process, right? Does everybody see the process?
Could you use like common language, like what goes around comes around?
If they accept that, sure. If they're a person who accepts generally in life what goes around comes around, then yeah, boom, right there, you're done.
Have you ever seen a case where something either obeys and disobeys the second and third relationships, like where they contradict each other?
Yeah, no. Somebody always asks that question, and it's important to cover it. You know, so far we've only been doing the first one and the second one. I've been leaving out the third one. And the reason why, basically, as far as I know, any syllogism which fails the second test is going to automatically fail the third test. So then the question becomes, why is there a third test? So what do you think?
So you're just thinking of things in terms of negatives?
Yeah, yeah. So people have heard this stuff before. Then the answer is, because if you use the third one is negation. Right? You're saying, if not this, not that. Why would you want to start to think in terms of negation? Yeah, because what's a negative thing? Emptiness.
Emptiness.
So the more you study negation, the more familiar the concept of emptiness is going to become to you, because emptiness is a negative thing. So that's one reason. So I would encourage you, if you're, you know, when you're doing this at home, because you're all going to, do the third test. Do the third test, because it's important. It's an important mental exercise. It plants a powerful seed. Somebody over there. Her, yeah. What's your name? I should know your
Barbara.
Name. Barbara. Barbara, yeah.
So why don't you say consider money given with the four powers? Like, why don't you establish that there are conditions under which you have to give the money?
Oh, I just want to write it out.
Oh, okay. But that's in the sentence.
Yeah, if you really want it to be true, you have to have that second line I wrote in.
Oh.
Doesn't the reason have to have something more to do with the subject that other than, like, you just brought it out of nowhere? Like, if you give money, you must give money because of karma. That doesn't, like, shouldn't it have to do with giving money? Because giving money something, there's no way.
Oh, you mean you want something altruistic in here, too?
No, that's not what I mean.
Okay.
I mean, you're there's no.
She means the subject is not the same.
Yeah, it's like a new subject.
Yeah.
You give money, you must give money because
that's,
karma works.
That's true. I'm not going to go over them, but there's like 14 other things that you have to know. There's like nitpicky details about making syllogisms. Like, for example, the subject cannot be the same as the reason. So I can't say consider money, you're going to get it because money. That's not a great example, but you can't do that. That syllogism would automatically be false. But the only thing to avoid that is you just have to say something a little bit different. I used a verb here. So money and give money are different things. So that's fine.
Yeah, but I thought you were going to prove to us how we don't have to go to work to get money.
No. I see. That's the course three.
Yeah.
No, that's not true, right? And I want to bring that up because it's a really good question, because our minds don't think clearly. We really don't. You do this. Everything you do, you're doing this either consciously or subconsciously, like unconsciously. Everything you do, you're doing this. You're like, why do I eat? Because I'm hungry. You want to put it in? It doesn't work. It's false. That's not correct. That won't help. Eating food has nothing to do with you getting rid of hunger. Right? Everything you do all day long, none of it is logical. All day long, everything we do. That's what Geshe Michael's talking about. 99% of all human activity is suffering. Why? Because it's flawed. Why? Because it's not logical. It won't bring you what you want. So the more you do this, and the more you can think logically, the less
suffering
you will have, because you'll be actually doing a cause to get the thing you want. Right? I listen to music because it makes me happy. Put it in. Try it. Check it out. See if it works. It doesn't. It's going to be false. Right? So take this. Apply it to your life. Okay. Another way that we know that we're not thinking this way is our minds jump to really funny places. I tell you that the way to get money is to give money, and then you say, great, I don't have to work. That's funny. because one of my favorite things to do, right, is to walk into a yoga class and say, does yoga work? Right. Consider it. Let's do it. It's a good one, right? This one's maybe it's worthwhile to do this one. Consider yoga. And some of you people are going to heard this already because I do this a lot. Consider yoga. It will give me yoga butt. It will make me healthy. Or, you know, it will improve my health, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because, what do you think? Yeah, I like that. And there's a couple ones I think we could do. We could, I do it every day, like the Yoga Sutra tells me. Or, maybe because that's its purpose. Yeah. It's supposed to make me healthy, right? Isn't that what it's supposed to do? Alright, so run the test. We'll do the first one first. Consider yoga, it will make you healthy, because you do it every day. What's the first test?
1 and 3. 1 and 3.
What's 1 and 3?
Yoga.
Is there a relationship between yoga and you doing it every day?
Yes.
Only you can answer that question. if you do it every day, then it passes the first test. All right. What's the second test?
2. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3. 3.
Good. Excellent. Excellent. So now, in the case of this syllogism, what does that mean? If I do it every day, will it make me healthy?
Not necessarily.
It's the joke I always do in my yoga class, you know. Like 3 people walk into yoga class. You know, one walks out and says, oh my god, that was amazing. The second walks out and says,
I prefer running.
I prefer jogging. The third one walks out and says, hours of chiropractor.
Yeah.
Right, so not so fast, my friend. Alright, so this one's false. Let's try the other one. Okay. Consider yoga, it will make me healthy because that's what it's supposed to do. Alright, what's the first test? Relationship between 1 and 3. Is relationship between yoga and its purpose? Should be. Run test number 2. If that's its purpose, must it make you healthy?
No.
Yeah, no. No, right. And it is. I got this from Geshe Michael. He always talks about aspirin, right? He uses aspirin. Consider aspirin. It will take away your headache because that's what it's supposed to do. Right? That's its purpose. Is that true? No. Lots of times you took aspirin, it didn't work. It didn't take away your headache. So even though that's its purpose, that's not. This is the syllogism's false. Right? All the times you took aspirin, you didn't think about it. All the times you went to yoga class and didn't think about it, you weren't gonna get what you wanted.
Are dynamic. So, for example, a headache can be caused from dehydration, it can be caused from low blood sugar, it can be caused by...
Let me come back to it. So what do I put in here? If I want this, so it doesn't be true. Yeah, because I help sick people. That's the basic one. Now, you know, there's infinite variations of that. Because I give people aspirin when they have a headache. Because I teach yoga. You know, because I work at hospital. Because, you know, whatever, as long as it fulfills this, you know, because I help sick people plant a seed and take care of it. That's always going to be the, you know, forever here. Alright, so, you know, run the test. There's a relationship between yoga and helping sick people. Yeah, that plants the seed for what you want. If you help sick people and take care of the seed, are you going to be healthy?
Yes.
Yeah. First law of karma. Questions?
Can you do the same with the laws of karma?
Yeah.
Can you prove that the laws of karma are true with the syllogism?
Yes, not today.
One thing that comes to my head that is this. We're talking about giving and receiving the same things they were, right? It seems like I give money, I receive money. But don't I have to like have it first in order to give it? It's kind of like if you start going backwards, oh, I have it and I gave it because I had it, blah, blah, blah. It's like, what, who comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah, we always get this question in the DCI things. They always ask us this. You know, they say, you say to make money, I have to give money, but I'll be money, that's why I'm here. Like, if I had money, I wouldn't come to your damn workshop, you know? I wouldn't need you people. So, then you, what you do is you get something similar, which is the answer to your deeper question, too. There's another question underneath the question that you asked that you got to at the end, and it's also the same answer. You get something similar. So, like, you know, we have a saying in English, right? Time is money. So a lot of times what we encourage people to do is if you know, they're financially struggling at the present time, they don't have a lot of money they can give, but they have time. You know, like if you don't have any money because you don't have a job, then you have lots of time on your hands, you know, give that. And then the result of getting something similar will be that eventually the thing that you want will start to come back. And we were talking about in my group the other night too, like basically what really makes it all go though is your intention. So theoretically, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but for the people in the know, if you can give anything and get money back if you have the right intention.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, I'm going to give a sad example, but if you have a kid in Africa that never has any food, how he's going to have some food, or how he's going to help?
It's the same answer. No, I heard that question, like I said. That's your deeper question, and it's the same answer. Sometime in the past, they gave something similar. They have to have. For example, to see a world which has money means you have the seeds to have money. Like, even if you have none yourself, to be able to look around in a world and see that there was a world that has money, you have that seed. Now, it might be buried, it's all trashed because maybe you stole in your last life and screwed everything up, but you still have the seed in there somewhere. If you didn't, you wouldn't have any awareness or knowledge of it. You could never get awareness or knowledge of it. So you're right, but they do have that, which is why they could and they can and they will.
Tell me how you would respond to my redneck father from Alabama. No high school degree. Worked 70, 80 hours a week until he was 76. Yeah. Gave to the church because it was supposed to. You know,
right.
Not within the proper motivation.
Right.
His comment is, and he did okay. I mean, he wasn't wealthy, but he did well.
Yeah.
How do you tell him it wasn't the work? I mean, he believes you worked hard to get it.
Yeah, what I would say, and I think that's a great question, what I would say is, like, look, obviously you gave money. Anybody who works gives money. And Lunshan, where's Lunshan? Sorry. She got really mad at me because I said this in a discussion group and was in Taiwan, right? I told her, look, you are already giving money. You are. Do you pay your rent? If you're paying your rent, you give money. So all you have to do...
Motivation.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. All you have to do, if you really want to see those seeds come back, all you have to do is improve your motivation. Like when you write, like, so what I used to do was when I went to write my rent check, because that was the biggest expense that I had at the time that I first started doing this, I wrote out my rent check and I put it in the mailbox. And as I was putting it in the mailbox, I went through the three spheres. You know, I don't exist, the money doesn't exist, there's no result that necessarily comes from giving the money. I put it in the mailbox.
Nope.
And that plants really powerful seeds, and then, you know, you'll start to get the stuff you need. Now, I'm sure your father maybe didn't have the greatest, you know, wasn't trying to save the world when he was working. But at the same time, he's also planting karma habitually, which also makes the karma more powerful and also makes it come back faster. Then on the other hand, you know, they're going to say, well, I wouldn't have made any money if I didn't work. And then the easy answer to that is we'll point out people who have lots of money and have worked.
Right.
And then, you know, after that, it's karma and logic. You know, either they accept the logic or they don't. They have the seeds to accept it or they don't, you know.
So how about, like, the super rich that don't want to give, and if they give rent or whatever, it's
sure.
With resentment, and they still have tons of money, and they just don't give.
Sure. Who knows?
What?
So, Arya Nagarjuna, very important person. Gombul Mundru. He explained this problem. What's he call it? Who knows?
Time gap.
Time gap. He calls this time gap. This is the thing that is really screwing us. If you just understood this, like, then all of it would all start to make sense. It would all start to work out. When I go to plant a seed in the ground, like I always tell everybody, right? I love fresh orange juice. It's the only thing I can't give away. So when I get to my last orange seed and I plant it in the ground, I get oranges, right? You put the seed in the ground, you get oranges. That's the way it works, right? Eventually. I mean, I don't know how long it takes. You know, does anybody know how long an orange seed takes to grow and start to drop oranges? I don't know.
2 years.
10 years or 3 years. I don't know. Years anyway, right? So it's the same thing. It's the same thing. So the problem is, and this is, Geshe Michael explained this one time, and it was really brilliant. I love it. We were in Kiev, and when you're in certain parts of the world, they're always going to ask you the question about bribery. Because there are certain parts of the world where bribery makes the world go round. You know, if you don't bribe somebody, you can't get anything done. Right? So they say, well, look, I understand I'm not supposed to bribe people. It's not the best you've ever planted, but if I don't do it, you know, I can't be in business. So we say, look, but here's what's going on. All right. Sometime in the past, you gave money or something, you know. Planted a seed, right? And the seed's growing, 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 growing. And then somebody asks you for a bribe. You give a bribe. Bam! You get a big result, right? Then what happens?
Give another bribe.
Bribe karma moves on. Bang. Then what happens? You lose your business. Right? So, the problem is, we're looking this way for cause and effect. We're saying, look, I get a bribe, I made a bunch of money. Ergo, bribes cause money. Is that true?
No.
Yeah, no. Run your tests. Do your mushi musum. There's no necessary relationship. Lots of people give bribes and just end up in prison. Is that it's not rocket science. I keep saying that. It's not rocket science, people. All right, so we look at cause and effect this way, but that's not the way cause and effect works. Cause and effect works this way. So if you understand that cause and effect works this way, then it solves all these questions you have. All these questions about, what about this guy that did that, and did this, and then this great thing happened to him. He did something nice. He got a bunch of money. He started to be a cheap bastard. He lost it all.
We just use the fact that we can observe people who give a bribe and they don't get the, you know, the desired financial result. They might get jail penalties or whatever. We use that to disprove that giving the bribe necessarily causes profit.
Sure.
Why can we not use our observation that there are people who are very generous who don't have any money to disprove?
Because the same thing's going on as what's going on here.
Well, that's...
Right. They're very good. Here they're very generous. You know, they don't have any money. They don't have any money. They will have money. They just haven't got to the tree yet. It's like you put the seed in the ground. You're staring at the seed. Look at the oranges. Where are my goddamn oranges? You people are all wrong. You told me if I get, you know, if I plant a seed, I won't get oranges.
Yeah, I accept this, that theory, but I'm using the same proof. Yeah. I'm not using a similar proof that was acceptable to disprove that bribery causes profit.
Alright. Okay, let's prove I'm fine, whatever. People are relentless. Does anybody have any questions about Michael we're supposed to be talking about?
So if I were to give money and not work, how do I get the money?
Well, that's the beauty of planting seeds, right? It doesn't matter. You know, I don't know. Anything could happen, right? You tell me what'll happen. You'll hit the lottery. You know, your grandma
will
die.
What if I don't?
You know, how many ways could you get money that you didn't work for? I don't know. I think it's infinite, probably.
Yeah.
The thing is, what's nice about this particular system, and what I've been talking with some people about, is like, this is what Geshe Michael's trying to express with the current management book. He's like, look, if you plant the seed for what you want, if you do it in the right way, you do it with the four thingies, you know what the four powers are, you're going to get the result. You don't have to sweat it anymore. Now, how will it come? Who knows? Who cares? You're just going to wake up one morning and your bank account's going to have a shitload of money in it. Well, you care whether it was because of the lottery or because, you know, your friend decided to hand you some money. Like, will it matter? I think you're just going to take the money.
So the four powers give the seed strength to become...
No. The four powers prevent your seed from ripening.
The three spheres, or are believing that the karma works.
The three spheres are part of the four things you have to do to make the seed come back faster.
Right, so the laws of karma, the first rule, the first law says, like, what you give out is what you get back, right? It's what you plant is what's going to... So if somebody doesn't believe in that, it's still going to happen anyway.
Right, but it won't happen as fast, and they won't really believe. See, so that's, again, this is what BCS is trying to do. They won't see the connection. They'll think the bribe made the money, right? So if you do something really nice, but then the seed doesn't come back for 35 years. Actually, so what are the three ways? They asked me this in my group. What are the three ways the karma can come back, right? This life, next life, or lifetimes after that. So if you do something nice for somebody and it comes back seven lifetimes later, like, who's going to believe that it works, you know? So our goal is to teach people how to plant seeds properly and powerfully so that it comes back fast enough so that you believe in the result.
Is that sort of like if you want to plant a garden where you'll have fruits and vegetables all through many seasons, you want to plant at different times so that there's always something coming up?
That's true. That's true. We were talking about this in my group too. Can you want to tell your story? Yeah.
Okay. So, so I heard the teaching on getting a girlfriend, going to the nursing home, and I heard Geshe-la. I think it was on a video stream from DM or something. And I was like, shit. So I had to do it. And there was one around the corner from my house, so I went four times. And then I got this, this girlfriend shows up. I mean, because it was just like that. But I had completely, it was like, I knew what I was doing, and it was, you know, and I didn't necessarily know the definitive four powers at that point. Still probably not totally. But yeah, it worked like really quickly. Like within, I mean, I was going every other week, and in, within 2 months, I just out of the blue, just this girlfriend showed up.
Yeah. And then what happened? That's step one. Then what happened?
I stopped going as much, and then it lasted about 4 months.
We thought it was really funny, right? Because he went four times and it lasted 4 months.
Well, it was more than that, but I mean, yeah. I stopped going, and then I've gone back.
Yeah. So in a sense, you're right. If you want to keep the thing in your life, you have to keep planting the seed. If you stop planting the seed in your garden, right, then you're not going to have any garden anymore. So the seed analogy is really brilliant. Like, I don't want to like push anybody's button, but I think Jesus kind of knew what he was talking about. Like, he's always talking about seeds, and he's always talking about, you know, if somebody hits me on this face, you know, then what are you supposed to do?
Turn the
other cheek. Turn the other cheek. Why? What? No. Why if somebody hits you, would you not hit them back? Yeah, because you don't want to replant the karmic seed. Come on, people.
If you use the techniques to plant seeds that come to you faster, do they also not sustain? Do they burn out faster?
That's a good question. I don't think they burn out faster, but they can burn out just as fast. So that's why, again, it's important to keep planting the seed. I don't know that they'll last any longer because you made the seed stronger. Probably not. You should ask it.
So what about causes and conditions?
That's what got me started on this. Yeah. You're all going to quit your job on Monday, right?
Yeah.
Right. We were talking about yoga. Right. So, yeah. Gosh. Wow. God, well, he's hitting everything. So because yoga doesn't work, right? Because I just proved yoga doesn't work, then you don't have to go to yoga anymore.
Absolutely.
Yay! Thank the Lord. it's all the same. If you take care of sick people, then what will your yoga do for you? It will make you healthy. So if you take care of sick people and you take an aspirin, what will happen? Hey, your headache will go away.
If you take care of sick people, you shouldn't have to do yoga.
That's true. The Buddhists have to take aspirins. No, I don't think so. I don't think Buddhists are like, oh God, where'd I put that bottle? I don't think that happens to them, right? Because they've helped enough sick people that what? They don't need aspirin anymore, right? But if I'm a person who maybe doesn't have a Buddhist karma, maybe not quite as pure as a Buddha, but I've given an aspirin in the past, and so ergo, I have a seed for an aspirin to work, then would I take the aspirin or not?
Yeah.
you would, right? Because it's going to work for you. And you don't have a seed for it to not work without the aspirin. Right? Because I'm not that cool yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that?
You don't have to be a Buddha for karma to work. And if you take care of sick people, you dedicate it to your health.
That's true.
So you don't need medicine or yoga.
Eventually.
It's just that karma ripening.
Eventually, that's true. But short term, it's not the case.
It's like that.
Same as mine.
Well, no, that's why, exactly, that's why I brought it up. It is the same as money. So don't quit your job on Monday. Why? Because that's what's making the whole thing go. It works. Why? Because when you work, you make money. What do you do with that money? You give it to people. What's going to happen if you quit working? You're not going to get the check. What are you not going
to
do? You're not going to give money. What's going to happen? You won't have any money.
You just said if you give money, away, even if you didn't have it.
You could do that. I have all the money I need. I'm not supposed to do this just because you're like challenging me a little bit right now. I have all the money I need. I don't need any money. I don't work. I haven't worked in 12 years. Right? Just to give you an example. Right? So it is possible. I'm standing here. So I can tell you that it's true. But for you, do I want you to quit your job on Monday? No. And that's why. Because your job is what's allowing you to practice giving. And if you quit giving, it's not going to work. Right? And if you want the whole thing to work, you've got to learn the four ways to plant a powerful seed. You need a really powerful object in your life. I'm lucky enough that I have one. Right? I don't know that everybody else here does. So I don't want you to quit your job on Monday. I don't want you to stop doing your yoga. Take an aspirin, for God's sakes. Like, but when you do it, what should you think in your mind?
This is not getting rid of my headache.
This will not get rid of my headache unless I do what? Help other people. When you're doing your yoga, what should you be thinking?
This is not making me healthy.
Now, well, that's the negative. Say it positively now.
This will only make me healthy. This will make me healthy if I care for others' bodies.
Yeah. So, for example, what do we do in Tibet Hard Yoga 1?
Tonglen.
Yeah, we do Tonglen. Why? Because when you're doing Tonglen, you're automatically planting the seed that's going to make your yoga work. Right? If you're thinking about other people and you're doing yoga, and you're thinking, by doing yoga, I will help more people, then your yoga is going to work, you're going to get healthier, you're going to be able to help more people. Right? So what you should be doing when you're at work, when you're getting up to go to work, should you be thinking, if I work hard today, I'll make more money?
No.
No, because it won't help you. What should you be thinking?
Work hard to help
money. If I work hard and I make some money and I use that to help other people, I'm going to have all the money I need and I have more money to help more people. Because who cares about money, really? It doesn't help anybody. But if I have more resources to help other people, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a good thing.
Yes,
I was just trying to help you.
What's that?
could you say then that the reason that you have to keep your job, you can't just quit your job yet, is because you have these very powerful seeds that have already begun to assert themselves and will continue to assert themselves as you see yourself needing to have a job in order to get
one? I didn't say that either. I didn't say don't quit your job. Did you hear me say, well, I didn't. I'm not saying you can't quit your job. You can't quit your job. If you feel like you're in a place where you have this all figured out and you've figured out how you're going to plant enough seeds so that you have the money that you need so that you can help other people, then quit your job. Because jobs are not where money comes from.
But there's a contradiction. If you can't say just quit your job because money doesn't come from that, there's something in between, right? Like if it was just as easy as to say, just quit your job because money doesn't come from that. There's some reason that you'd want to say, unless you have this and this, you can't just quit your
job. Yeah, that's what I just said.
So there's a seed that has asserted itself. Right?
No, I said figure out, this is also karmic management. Who's your karmic partner? Who are you going to help that's going to make you have the money that you need? Who am I going to take care of? Who am I going to give money to? Who am I going to support that's going to make sure that the money seed keeps getting planted so that I have money seeds in my garden?
It's about helping the person next to you when you're at your job.
That's right. Right.
Sure.
That's how you get promoted, then you get more money.
Yeah, no. That's it. That's what I'm talking about. It's not rocket science. It's easy stuff.
So I think causes and conditions, you're talking about a delivery vehicle. That's how I think about it. So I quit my job, right? Like I quit my job a year ago. And but before I did, I created other delivery vehicles.
Yeah.
You know, so I knew that if it wasn't going to come in through the paycheck or through going to the Midtown every day, that it had to come in another way. But I'm not making as much as I did, by the way. But I'm working on it. But the other thing I wanted to ask, going back to what Alistair and Nora were talking about, I'm thinking about this as a tool, I mean, the logic as a tool, and when you use it and what you use it for. So it seems like what you're showing us is how to use it on ourselves,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I think what Alistair and Mira were talking about, and I apologize if I'm wrong on this, how to use it with other people as well.
Yeah.
So all of it, everything that you presented is deeply dependent on a belief in karma. Right? I mean, in the way, the ones that you presented, right? So you know, that has to already be the starting place.
You know, I mean, the first example I gave you was not dependent on
that's true.
The sound is changing, it was mm-hmm. made. That, and that's possible, you know, that's another reason why I use that one first, because it doesn't get us into other things. I was assuming, because everyone here is a Buddhist, I could use karma as a reason and I would get so cheap. Now I know different. I will prepare better the next time.
With using this system if they haven't already.
Well, I like what you said. Ideally, logic is not about convincing other people. Mm. It's not. And that's what I'm trying, it's clear thinking, that's what I'm offering you. I'm not offering you a system to convince other people that you're right. I'm offering you a system to look at yourself and analyze all the mistakes you're making every day, all day long. Because if you really wanted to change something, if you really want to be a different person, if you really want to help more people, that's what you have to change. You don't have to change anybody else. I have to change me, right? And the best way to do that, as far as I know, is to look at what I'm doing. And this gives me, along with meditation, right? This gives me a really good tool to look at myself and see what I'm doing and fix some of the mistakes I'm making, you know, all day long, every day, right? You know, a lot of times we, you know, there was one person in my group that was like, you know, they were freaked out because Geshe Michael sort of convinced them they have to be vegetarian. And you know, they were like, oh my God, I can't do it, you know? And I'm like, that's not the most important thing to worry about right now. Like, you're doing much worse things than not being a vegetarian. So focus on the big mistakes, you know, and fix them first. So that's really what I would recommend. You're not going to be able to convince anybody else if you haven't convinced yourself. And I would challenge you if you haven't convinced yourself. And that's what I'm feeling. You haven't convinced yourself yet, right? And that's why I'm getting all this heat, right? Because you want to know and you want to learn it. Because you haven't been able to convince yourself yet. If you convince yourself, it'll be very easy for you, I think, to spread this to other people. Because they'll see, you know, they'll know that you know what you know. I think, did you want to ask something? You had your hand up like a long time ago.
Very similar to what Chelsea was saying. Given that the causes of karma or the workings of karma are deeply hidden, as we go through our life, it seems so hard to tell A cause B. And sometimes that's
yeah.
I can see it as like
yeah.
you know very
yeah.
clear from what I you know from what I think, but in general it's just you know doing things, dedicating them, and going on.
No, it is. I agree. The time gap is the most difficult part of the whole thing. If you could figure out how to deal with the time gap, you can solve the problems. Why? Because if you could see for yourself, if you could see it work, then you wouldn't have to spend as much time going through the logic of all of it. You know, if I gave money and the next day, you know, somebody put $1 million in my bank account, like, I wouldn't worry about it. You know, I wouldn't spend so much time, like, worrying about, does this really work or not? I would just, you know, I would just know that it works. So, you know, again, like I said, that's why we teach these four ways to try to speed up the seed. Because if you can have an experience of it yourself, then nobody's going to, you know, and I guess you, Michael, can say this is easy. He likes to say it's easy. He gets up here, right, and he says it's easy. That's not my experience. Why? Because what happens, it's all easy here, right? But what's going to happen when you go home?
Right?
You're going to start doubting everything. Why? Because all your friends are going to tell you're crazy. You're going to turn the TV on, and they're going to say, we've got to fight these people, right? All these people that are causing us problems, we've got to fight them. Where do we get the budget to go over and bomb the next bunch of people that are fighting against us, right? Everybody's telling you that. And everybody's been telling you that since you could understand people telling you things. They were telling you that everything, you have to fight for what you want, right? So it's not easy. It's difficult, right? So again, this is just a tool to help you fight against that. So you can work against the fact that everyone's always telling you to take care of yourself. And they're always telling you if you need something, you have to fight people to get it. Right? Because it's wrong. It's just wrong. It doesn't make any sense. The only thing is, you know, like the Dalai Lama says, with a lack of something else, you know, what do I do? He said, let's just go to the bar. Like, Dayama agrees. Like, if karma's not true, if you don't get a better life by helping other people, if that's not true, well, let's just go to the bar, forget it. You know, because you're screwed. You are. You would be totally screwed. If you have to fight the whole world to get the things you want, like, what are your chances? How are you going to win? You can't. You're going to lose, right? But maybe there's another way. Maybe there's a way that actually works. You could try that. Maybe. How am I supposed to, I'm supposed to do it like 4, right? So I have, like 7-8 minutes. So what do you want to do? I never got to talk about my book.
Proof karma.
Proof karma, right? I think that's what everybody really wants.
Time got to be.
Karma. Because this time got to be really screwed me up. So the logic for proving karma is a little bit, you really have to work it over in your mind because it's not as easy as some of the other stuff you've done. But basically, you're going to have to do some legwork first. But then the point you should come to is there's three possibilities. There's three possibilities for the way it works. And then you have to analyze this yourself and think about, is this true? Is there a fourth possibility that maybe nobody else in the last 5,000 years thought of? Maybe you're the first one, it's possible. But anyway, put in the work, because it's a worthwhile effort. Because if you don't do it, you won't believe it. And you'll just keep living your life the way you always were, and nothing will ever get better, and everybody's up. No. I always say the worst thing that happens, you know, what's the worst possible thing that could happen? The worst possible thing that can happen is nothing will happen. Right? The worst possible thing that can happen is you'll get all these teachings, all these things, learn all these different ways to change your life, and you'll go home and you'll forget about it and you won't do anything. For me, that's the worst thing that could possibly happen. Right? So I wanna fight against that. So you figure out for yourself if these are the three possibilities. But anyway, I'll give them. So what's the first possibility? First possibility. Yeah, God did it. What's the second possibility?
Chaos.
Yeah, it's all random. What's the third possibility?
Cause and effect.
Must be cause and effect. Let's call it cause and effect, right? Because I like that one. Otherwise known as karma. But we should just call it cause and effect, because lots of people have weird ideas about what karma means. So let's call it cause and effect, because that's what it really means. Okay. So is this one true? God's making everything happen. You think so? Okay, give me a reason. Consider God. Consider God. He does everything. Because what?
Because he's powerful.
He made it in his name.
He's all powerful.
Because
he is powerful.
Made it in his name. Okay, time group. What's that mean?
Because he made it in his name, everything is in his name.
Well, I want to do it step by step. I don't want to skip anything. Right, what's talking through me?
Reason not established.
No relationship between one and three, right? So what would that be? God didn't make it in his name, right? That's what I'm saying. All right. So then how would you respond? What do you have to do?
Three to two.
Yeah, good. Consider the big G. He did make it in his name. Because why?
Because everything is named.
Because everything is named, right, John?
That's good.
Everything is named. What's Macau mean?
Three to the part of one, but...
Yeah, three just because if three is two, two must be true, right? So what I'm saying is, just because everything is named doesn't mean that he named it. Like, for example, you know...
Right.
Yeah. So you can go to scripture, but I'm not, you know, I don't accept that as valid, so it doesn't work on me. Anyway, you think about it. Okay. Do you have a different one? You want to use something else?
Is this omnipotent?
No, that's a good one. Because he's omnipotent. Yeah, that's really good, because I meant that if I got to my class, I want to just, what's another thing that's really important if you want to get into clear thinking? Is you have to understand the importance of definitions. Alright? So if we're going to debate something, the first thing we really have to do is we have to agree on definitions. So if we're going to debate, did God make everything happen, then the first thing we have to agree on is what do you mean by God?
Right? What if you don't use the word God and you just say, you know, I want to use consciousness?
Yeah, that's fine, or Ishvara or whatever, it doesn't matter to me. Just give me a definition.
Oh.
creator of all things.
Yeah, you know, like the Christian definition is unchanging creator.
Yeah.
All right, so I have a problem with that one. Why? Because these are guilds. To be one is to not be the other automatically. If this one is true, then this one can't be true.
How about just creator?
I'm not gonna spend a long time. Yeah. Okay. So let's say creator. God is the creator. Okay. Then I'm okay with it.
What about all loving creator?
Yeah, I'm fine with that one, right? Because all loving would imply if he creates things and he's all loving, then why? Explain to me why God overdoes. Yeah, that one's the problem. But if you just said God, is the thing that creates everything, then I agree. God exists, and God makes everything. Because you're talking about karma now. If you said God creates everything, well, karma creates everything. That's fine. I'm okay. That's fine. See, so this is why it's important to agree on a definition. Right? So now, if you want to start calling karma God, I'm not angry with that. There's no reason why we can't call him God. Okay, let's call karma God. Fine. What's the first law of God? God is definite.
When I was a kid, we had to memorize the catechism, and the catechism definition of God is supreme being made all things and who keeps them in existence.
Okay. Yeah, I'm all right with that one. That's basically how they've been held.
Yeah.
So much different than
what about keeping them in existence. Is that, I guess so.
As long as it's in existence, that's what keeps it in existence is karma, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, just to screw with the Buddhists, consider Bhagavad Gita. She does it because she's omnipotent. You won't argue with me.
What's the definition of Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah.
You think about it.
Right. She does it.
Okay. Let's do this one just for fun. Consider randomness. It causes things. And to be consistent, it should be the same. It causes everything. Randomness causes everything. Because, give me a reason.
There's tons of results. Everywhere.
There's lots of results. That's not bad. Because there's lots of results. So if I said Macha, what would that mean?
Causes don't make results. Results don't come from causes.
Yeah, results don't come from causes. Yeah, which is, I think, a problem.
What?
Yeah. If 3 is 2, 2 must be true. So there's lots of results which bring about cause things?
Mm-hmm.
No. What's the other way? You give it to me.
Can you say there's a lot of
causes which bring about results?
There's lots of causing happening. Lots of causation.
Yeah. This is what's screwing it, actually.
Yeah.
I have to take that out. Consider randomness. It doesn't even make any sense. You can't say randomness causes things to happen. Randomness makes things happen. So I don't know. Somebody think of some way to even state it that makes
everything
even any sense.
There are
consider things. They exist as the random collisions of.
That's good. There we go. That's better. Consider things. What do you want for the second one?
They exist as random collisions of particles.
They exist randomly.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. Consider things. They exist randomly because...
Because there's no way to prove their causes.
That's not bad.
Shit happens.
Not yet.
No, I think that would be okay, right? Because if shit happens, you think you're in. So you have to say partner group, right? So there's no relationship between things and shit happening. I would agree. I mean, excuse the French here that we're using right now, which I shouldn't really be using. But, right, talker group means there's no relationship between one and three, right? Because again, when you say shit happens, what you're basically also saying is things are caused. But I'm saying there's no relationship, right, between things and
shit happens doesn't mean
happening.
Things are caused.
No. I think it does, because you don't believe this. You don't believe this. Why don't you believe this?
Because we make efforts.
Because you make efforts. Right?
Yeah.
You make efforts towards things. If you believe shit just happened, you wouldn't come to this class.
Right.
You wouldn't go to any class. Because class can't make a thing. Right? If you went to class and somebody taught you math, you don't believe this. It's impossible. If you have any scientific training at all, my God, you're a doctor, man. If you have any scientific training at all, you don't believe this. Because all science is based on believing cause and effect. Right? I mean, I'm going to experiment to discover what? What causes something to happen. Right? So, if this is true, if what I said is false, if this is true, then science is
random.
No, it's a trick. You know, it's a trick, or it's a, yeah, it's an illusion, or it's a...
Yeah.
It's a sham. Sham's good. Yeah, science is totally a scam because shit happens. So if you accept that, then you beat me. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how I was interpreting that phrase. I don't want to say.
Can you do karma now?
Well, okay. Yeah. So wrap it up because I'm over. Then the proof that cause and effect must be the case is. If it is the case that these three are the only possibilities and you've eliminated the other two, then what must be true?
But we have to still test it.
No, that's the syllogism.
Because there's not a fourth.
Because there's not a fourth option. Three must be true because there's not a fourth option. So,
but can you prove it?
When I said one was true, one equals three. Orwell was flipping over in his grave. Okay, anyway. Alright, so work on that one. Think about it. If you come up with something you think is not true, you can ask me later. I'm here all week. Don't forget to tip your waitstaff. otherwise, the purpose of the whole thing, like I said, is to get you to start trying to use this in your life. So, if you can...
What's the name of your book?
It's my book. Oh, I haven't finished it yet.
No.
I'm working on a book. Where's... Is it, I think Ami's not here. Anyway, Ami's pressured me to finish a book. I'm working on it. She? Yeah. Talk to her. Anyway, the purpose of it, again, is to try to get us to think about... You're, like I said, you're doing it all day long, every day. All day long, every day, you're thinking of reasons why you do things. And I think if you apply the techniques that we discussed in this class, what you'll find is most of the time the reason why you're doing things is wrong. You know, so then you can adjust what you're doing and try and find, don't stop doing what you're doing. Like I said, I'm not telling you to do that. What I'm saying is adjust your motivation so that when you're doing something, you'll get the result that you're actually after. And it won't be throwing darts at a dartboard anymore. It won't be like, I hope this turns out the way I want it to. You'll know it's going to turn out the way you want it to because you planned the seeds.
Sashi Padi Chukshin Leto Cham Riram Linshin Yinde Kempadi Samye Shindu Mite Uwagi Drogun Namda Shima Jupasho
Itta-vi-yam-gur-ra-ta-mandala-kam-ye-yata-yami-ke-wa-di-ye-o-kun-sa-yam-ye-she-so-so-shin
Sanam yeshele jomwe, dhamma kunito parasho.